This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues. Melissa Idris, Julian Ng, and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. Quick reminder, at the top of the hour, just after the news, we have Melissa. You'll be speaking to Joseph Gross. He's the CEO of Allianz Life Insurance Malaysia.
Allianz Life Insurance, yeah. They are the subsidiary of publicly listed Allianz Malaysia, which in turn is under Allianz SE, one of Europe's, I think, if not Europe's biggest insurer. And you know, it's interesting because in the how does a traditional insurance company behave in the age in the digital age, right? So it will be interesting to see what their plans are. I know they're going really big on the digital front, but you know, it's been a tough environment. It was a tough year last year. What will they see for 2017?
I think fintech and InsurTech are such buzzwords these days. A lot of disruption is going to continue to come out, especially when you have to pay a lot of commissions for your insurance policy, right? When you buy a policy, you pay about 171% of your first year premiums paid over a number of years to the agent. So this is something that's very ripe for disruption, because certainly you would want a 171% discount of your first year premiums to buy into a policy. Coupled with that, you got an underinsured country. So the question is, how do you make people get more insurance to give them more peace of mind and better financial planning?
What's also disruptive, of course, is non-English words as names of companies. You know, befuddles English speakers. I see Allianz, and I read it as Alliance. Apparently, Deutsche Bank had problems with its American offices, and they had to get people to not say douchebag.
Yeah,
douchebag. Like douchebag, or something to that effect. Okay, lots of stories on transport and logistics. The proposed deep sea port at Kerry Island will be operated by Northport Malaysia Berhad.
Yeah, so apparently the Transport Ministry has come out to say that it was Northport. Northport was the only one who submitted a proposal for the third terminal. And because they were the only one, then okay lah, they get the job to handle this. This is under the Economic Planning Unit of the Prime Minister's Department. And, you know, I guess a look, we've had stories on this for the past couple of days, haven't we, Sharad? I mean, even it's carried in the dailies, the main dailies.
Yeah, the Star had a big story, exclusive.
Because this new port apparently will be the next big development in Klang Valley. It's going to be able to handle more cargo than both Port Klang and Westport combined. So I guess they have big plans for this.
Yeah, Northport is under the MMC Group, which also owns the port or manages the port of Tanjung Pelepas down there in Johor. And this is such a huge project, because this is a so-called port industrial city project that will cost about 200 billion ringgit. I think they would spend this not all in one day, not profligate like that, but spend it over a number of decades, I'm sure. And I worry, are you guys worried about such a humongous project, whether we have enough ships coming through here to fill this up?
I have to ask that, do we need it? Because, you know, this is part of the shipping route, right? The busy Malacca Straits shipping route. Whether can we give Singapore a run for its money, for instance, with a third terminal? Is that something that, is that the objective of creating a third terminal at the Kerry Island?
Also, the question of who gets to build and run it, is this a simple question of just saying, what do we know about the process of, you know, selection of this? I mean, has not Northport proven itself as a builder operator, and you know, and was there any competition?
Well, clearly they were the only one to submit a proposal. I wonder whether you know, there was just no interest, or again, is this going to the right person?
And you ask yourself, I mean, there was no interest from other entities. Why? I mean, you know, is it because others do not see a real business proposition in this?
Yeah, but I think what can be said is that the pace of global trade will continue to grow. It's a matter of vision, how you want to capture that kind of thing. I mean, down south in Singapore, they are going to build Tuas, which is this shiny new port with a capacity of about 65 million TEUs. And that adds to the kind of 40 million TEUs that currently the Port of Singapore Authority has, almost 100 million TEUs there in Singapore. Whereas if you look at the capacities we find here in Malaysia, Port Klang, West Port has 7.5 million, North Port currently has 5.6, not including this Carey Island one, and PTP has about 9 or 10. So we are focusing on different things than Singapore is focusing on. And there is also the question of the kind of alliances that have been established in the world of their clients. For example, you know, you have Ocean 3, you have 2M Alliance, and throw the slowdown of China on top of that, you have major seismic movements within the shipping sector and the port sector as well.
Okay, speaking of seismic movements, KTMB, or Kereta Api Tanah Melayu Berhad, has started an internal probe into a multi-million ringgit procurement deal. Its president, Dato' Sabrini, has been told that, you know, it's been said that he's going on leave pending the outcome of the inquiry, and he has denied any wrongdoing, claimed that he's being targeted unfairly.
Yeah, so, okay, again, this turmoil within KTMB, they've been kind of quiet the past couple of years. I haven't heard any major news coming up from them. I think it was 2011, 2012 when they were making headlines with run-ins with MACC. You know, I think they were under investigation.
There were industrial relations issues as well.
Yeah, under the unions. And the fact that they simply haven't been making money. So kind of quiet this past couple of years. Now they're back in the spotlight. And I think about time to take a look. Because, you know, you think about KTM and you think about how we've really tried to revamp our public transport and our, not just public transport, but also logistics, right? Because KTM is more than just commuter and intercity. It's cargo and freight as well. So, and I believe cargo is its main revenue contributor, about 30% of its revenue comes from cargo.
So there was also another investigation by MACC in 2011 into this company.
Yeah, so that was also over irregularities of a tender award. This time around, it's irregularities over a procurement deal. So this speaks to me of issues of lack of transparency when it comes to procurement and tendering. And, you know, we were looking at the financials for KTM. The last available financial records were from 2013.
So here's the thing, right? When you look at financial records, it suggests that KTMB should be a profitable entity, whereas right now it's owned by the Ministry of Finance. Should it have a degree of social programs, or should it be a profit-maximizing entity? And in that vein, again, we come back to MMC, the long arm of MMC, which owns Northport, which is going to embark on that Carey Island project. MMC proposed to take over KTMB operations. Should this be put into the hands of a private operator?
So do you see this as a public service, the question, right? Because, you know, with the commuter and intercity, there are some routes that are completely uneconomic, perhaps more of a community service. Should we be pressuring KTM to be profitable?
But correct me if I'm wrong, didn't KTMB also have a large land bank? Isn't that something that has been really good for them?
They do have some property under that. So cargo, freight, commuter, intercity, property, and a little bit of advertising.
Okay, also in our crosshairs, MAHB has noted that passenger traffic in its domestic and international airports has increased, up 5.7%.
Yeah, so people are traveling, clearly. they're seeing increase both in international traffic, both in as well as domestic traffic. You know, yesterday I spoke to Mohsin Aziz, who's an aviation analyst at Maybank Investment Bank, talking about the aviation sector last year. And he said, you know, Malaysia really had a banner year in 2016, simply because while the industry expected a slowdown, people kept on traveling. So even though with the weaker ringgit and the GST and all the issues back home, we still kept going on holiday.
So what's all holidays? But what about work? I mean, people travel for work too, right?
True, but I think also, I think the external circumstances was expected to hit consumer sentiment, but clearly it didn't. And we're seeing that reflected in MHB's numbers this morning.
Yeah, I think this opens up for the foreigners to come in as well, because while the weak ringgit may discourage us to go outside a little bit more, they actually encourage foreigners and foreign tourists to come here.
Over, yeah.
The other sector that's not taking as big a hit as others is the luxury car sector. BMW Malaysia has achieved its sixth straight record sales year.
Is this puzzling to you? Because it's puzzling to me.
Well, you know, often
I don't think so.
I'm not puzzled. The super rich will continue.
Will always have money. They're not. They never go through any recession.
The entire auto industry is seeing a slowdown, except for the luxury car segment, where you know BMW saw record sales. Mercedes says it's going to drive itself into another record year. See what I did there?
Well, so Julian hit the nail on the head by saying, "Well, you know, when you're talking about that segment of society, they really don't suffer a dent." You know,
which raises,
in terms of their consumption.
Which raises a more serious issue in asking the question whether we have growing inequality, income inequality gap here in Malaysia. I think that's the question to be asked, because if we look at local car sales, not that cars are a symbol of your income growth or anything like that, but the passenger cars in Malaysia has been hit by the poor sentiment.
Also in the news, Malaysian Employers Federation, MEF, says the recently sanctioned levy regulation or the employer mandatory commitment is expected to be postponed until 2018 at least.
So this is an exclusive from the Malaysian Reserve. So clearly MEF or Malaysian Employers Federation really expects or has some insider information that we don't know. Apparently, they sat down with the minister in the Prime Minister's department, Datuk Paul Loh, yesterday to request a deferment in this new regulation. Whether or not it will come to fruition is another matter.
Is it curious that they should be announcing it or making mention of it rather than government?
It is. It is a little curious. So I don't know how certain this is. It could be just that they expect it to be postponed based on the discussion that they had with government stakeholders yesterday.
Also very quickly in the news, OPEC oil again. Prices of oil have fallen on increased output. But we'll have no time to that. We'll come back after the news with more on that story. More top business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.